Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, all eyes will be on number 16 Saturday, and that is Denard Robinson of the University of Michigan. But I think back 11 years and all eyes were on another number 16, as Michigan State quarterback Bill Burke, and he had a record-setting performance in Michigan State's 34-31 win over the Michigan Wolverines. Hello, Bill. How are you?
Good, Jack. How you doing?
Just fine. Well, a lot of people do not remember that you got the best of two NFL quarterbacks that day, Tom Brady and Drew Henson.
Well, it certainly was a great victory, but I wasn't alone in my efforts. I had a lot of good people around me, and we were obviously amped up to go into that game in a similar situation that Michigan State finds itself in this year, being 5-0 and undefeated, and we played well enough to come out of there with a win.
You had some big days as a Spartan quarterback, and had some pretty good receivers to throw to, and Plaxico Burress and Gary Scott, but 400 yards in one game? Did it just seem like it was one of those days where you couldn't miss?
Well, not exactly. I mean, I think I said after the game, it wasn't a day where I felt my best, but, we went into the game with a plan that, we were going to throw the ball. I mean, I think they had a pretty good run defense, and we certainly wanted to get our running backs their touches and do what we could to gain first downs on the ground, but we knew we had some weapons on the outside, and we knew we could kind of hurt them through the air. So we had a lot of hooks called, actually. But, Plaxico Burress and Gary Scott, if they were running their route and they thought that they could run right by the defender, they would just throw up their hand. And, lucky enough for us, they found themselves in that position quite often, and I was able to get enough time from the offensive line and just put some air under the ball and give those guys a chance to make plays. And more often than not, it went to Plex, and he was able to come down with some pretty amazing catches. So the yards just started to pile up, especially in the second half. And I remember somebody saying to me after the game in the locker room that we had broken a lot of records, and it was pretty amazing because it doesn't necessarily always feel that way during the course of the game. You're just trying to come out with a win and make sure that you have more points than they do when the scoreboard reaches zero. So I think I said, during that week after the game that there were times where I felt better during a game, but we certainly were able to make some plays, and luckily we came out of there with a win.
Plex had 10 catches that day for 255 yards himself, but you averaged more than 11 yards every time you went back to throw, and I think you had 21 completions, so you were averaging close to 20 yards for every completion. I guess that sometimes you get into a situation where Michigan State's run is respected a lot, and you've got those guys who can get deep. We may see some of that Saturday in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's a good philosophy, and we not only had Lloyd Clemens, who's a pretty underrated back in Michigan State history. He was our every down back and our starter, but we also had T.J. Duckett. I'm sure that name rings a bell.
Right.
We had DeJuan Moss at fullback, who actually scored a touchdown that game. So, we definitely opened up some holes on the offensive line and ran the ball well. But when you do that, you're right. It opens up the play-action passing game. And, of course, when you go to that, you look to weapons like Plaxico Burress and Gary Scott. But we also had a couple of really good tight ends, one of which I believe is still in the NFL, and Chris Baker. And
yes,
he's by far had the best hands of anybody that I've ever played with. Very soft hands and deceptively athletic was Chris. So, there's a lot of different areas we could go with the football, and I tried to spread it around a little bit. And, it seemed like everybody in that game contributed in some capacity. Everybody made plays, and that's just on the offensive side of the ball. I had a lot of fun that day watching our defense, and really, that's the unit that kept us in the game. I remember them on a couple of drives just giving fits to Drew Henson and Tom Brady. Our crowd was in rare form that day. I mean, just the loudest I've ever heard it. And it was the loudest when we were on defense. And those guys were flying around. And, the coaching staff was bringing the blitz. And, we were getting turnovers and just wreaking havoc in the Michigan backfield. So it was a it was a total team effort, and really more so than any other win I've had in my career, the most gratifying.
That was the second and final 10-win season in Michigan State history, at least final up to this point. Michigan State finishing 10-2, had a couple of losses that were not close with Wisconsin, ran into Ron Dayne that day, and can still hear that PA announcer talking about Ron Dayne running up and down the field. And then
you and me both, Jack.
And then against Purdue, and you saw Drew Brees and Chris Daniels, I think, caught 21 balls that day. But in terms of what your 99 team accomplished, might have been the best run Michigan State has had. You look at wins over Oregon, Notre Dame, Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, Penn State, and then Florida in a bowl game.
Pretty amazing. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I feel very fortunate to have been a part of it. You know, anytime you can put together a season like that, it really is gratifying because, you know, up until that point, we had kind of been up and down and had some more inconsistent seasons. We had great wins, but then, you know, really gut-wrenching losses. So to finally put it together in your senior year and be something that people still talk about, I mean, it's pretty special. It's a pretty good feeling knowing that there's so many fans out there in the Spartan Nation that, you know, you had an impact on in some small way. And, you know, there's a lot of great fans who still remember those games, and it just gives me a good feeling to know that you know, I was able to be a small part of it, and then of course I'll be able to, you know, tell my kids about it, and you know, it just feels good to have contributed because I played with so many great guys, and you know, we were a part of a pretty good coaching staff with Coach Saban and Coach D'Antonio and the rest of the assistants. So all in all, I just have you know, such a big place in my heart for Michigan State, and especially that 99 season.
Bill, I know you're an Ohio guy, but I want you to rank these three wins for me and what they mean to you. The 1998 win over Ohio State when they were ranked number one, and I think you were behind 24-9. Ohio State's still trying to figure out what happened. The 99 game we mentioned, the great showdown of undefeated teams, Michigan and Michigan State. Or the bowl win over Steve Spurrier in Florida?
Well, that's tough. You know, you could pick any one of them for different reasons, but you know, I would have to put, you know, as crazy as this may sound, I'd have to put the Ohio State game at number three, Florida at number two, and Michigan at number one, and that's just really my personal ranking. I mean, the Ohio State game was certainly great. They were number one in the country. It was a road game. We were 28-point underdogs. But when you look at that season as a whole, we were so inconsistent. And, right, you know, it took away a little of the glitter, you know, when we went out and I believe lost the next week and finished the season 6-6 and didn't go to a bowl game. So that, you know, when you look at it as a whole, it was kind of a disappointing season. Florida, you know, was a tremendous game. I mean, that was, you know, one that I'll never forget. I mean, it was such a back-and-forth struggle. I think the game was over 4 hours. The 2 weeks that we had been down in Florida, it was very cool, and there were some rainy days, and then a game day, it's in the upper 80s, and it was just an exhausting game. But it was one of those games where, you know, my last game as a Spartan, but, you know, you just gave it everything you had, and I was completely spent after the game. And to look at the scoreboard and see that you came out with a win and still feel that exhausted was really satisfying because it just was the exclamation point on a career and a season that, you know, we really worked so hard to achieve. And, you know, we wound up, I think, seventh in the country in the final rankings, which is, you know, I think a tremendous accomplishment from where we were just the season before. But the Michigan game, number one, you know, just because of the circumstances, the in-state rivalry, I mean, we were both 5-0. I think they were ranked third going into that game. And,
right,
you know, two seasons before in 97, we were both 5-0 going into that game. And, you know, the game wasn't close. We lost it. And that, right, kind of, you know, that was a big hurdle to get over 2 years ago. You know, we're saying we're 5-0 again here going up against undefeated Michigan. And that was a big hurdle for us, a big jump to finally get over that big obstacle and go into the sixth game undefeated against Michigan and come out with a win.
Our guest, Bill Burke, record-setting Michigan State quarterback and leader of the 1999 team that went 10-2, Nick Saban's final year at Michigan State. Bill, I'd like you to talk a little bit about Kirk Cousins and what you see in him. A lot of people look at him as a passer and they say, When he is getting rid of the ball and he is decisive, he's as good a passer as Michigan State's had.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I mean, you know, anytime you, you know, are in that type of position in terms of being a quarterback, I mean, he gets the most attention, you know, when you win, and obviously the most attention when you lose. So it's you're gonna open yourself up to some critics, and I had my share of them my junior year, which was also my first year as a full-time starter. It's a learning process. It really is. But I see a huge potential in Kirk. He's got a great head on his shoulders. You know, and as much as he played as a sophomore, you really need that full year as a starter under your belt, and that's happening right now. So, yeah, he's made a couple mistakes, but, you know, I don't think Michigan State, if you're looking for flaws or for problems, I don't think it's the quarterback position. I mean, there are other areas that continually need to be worked on, and in the quarterback position is no different. So, you know, I'm impressed with Kirk. I've said it all along, even when he wasn't the starter, when he came in and just mopped up in a couple of games, he looked as if he had been playing for years. So that's just a testament to how he prepares and how he goes about his business. And of course, you know, physically he's got all the talent, can make the throws, and obviously as a leader. So, you know, I think you're going to see even more great things from Kirk as this season progresses. And then, of course, he's got a whole year left next year. So I think he's going to go down as one of the better quarterbacks in the school's history. And, hey, this is, you know, undefeated going into the Michigan game. He's got a chance to really lead this team to a tremendously special season.
The other quarterback, Bill, has gotten a tremendous amount of attention. A lot of people say he is a Heisman front runner right now. Certainly, if you look at the stats, it would be hard to argue with that. He is the only player in NCAA history to have two games where he rushed for 200 yards and passed for 200 yards in season. We're talking about Denard Robinson. Can you talk about another number 16 and some of the problems he presents to a defense?
Well, he presents a whole lot of problems. You know, it's tough for me to put myself in his shoes because I wasn't that type of quarterback.
Right.
You know, he's a step or two faster than I was. But I watch these teams, and there's a lot of teams around the country that run that same offense, and it seems so simple. I mean, that read option's been around for a long time, and it just seems like somebody would have figured out how to stop that by now. But it's very difficult when you have a tremendous athlete like Robinson, and you don't quite know where the ball's going every play. And he's a threat to throw it as well. So, you know, Coach Rodriguez had some success with that offense at West Virginia, almost getting to the national title game. And, you know, do I think he can be stopped? I think he can be severely slowed down, sure. And I think we certainly have the potential to do that this Saturday. But it is difficult. I mean, he's probably going to get, you know, his yards and make a couple big plays. But I think you just have to limit those and keep those to a minimum. If you do that, then you're going to be in the game in the fourth quarter, and it's going to come down to, you know, who has the ball last. So I think both offenses have the potential to score a lot of points. And, you know, Michigan's defense, I think, is a little suspect. And I think we showed, you know, or at least made it somewhat of a statement last week in stopping the Wisconsin offense. But, you know, obviously, as you can tell, this is a completely different style of offense. So, you know, we're certainly going to be tested this weekend. But you know what? If you want to have a great season, if you want to win a Big Ten championship, with each win that you achieve, you know, the next week it's even harder and so on and so on. So, you know, it all comes down to stepping up, making plays, and executing.
Bill, last question. We saw there were games last year where Denard Robinson had flashes, but then there were also times where he looked like a deer in the headlights. Michigan State was one example, did not play well in brief duty there. Now it seems like his feet are moving faster than ever, but it's all slowed down for him. Was there a point in your career where suddenly it didn't seem like the game speed was too fast and you were processing everything out there on the field?
Yeah, it usually, well, for me, my first year as a starter was my junior year. So, I don't know if there was a specific point, but I know that, you know, to begin my senior year, I was just completely comfortable. I remember, you know, when the plays would come in, would be signaled in from the sidelines, that, you know, before the coach was even finished signaling it in, I knew what it was. Because you can kind of start to piece together the formations with the actual plays and the pass protections. It's like a big puzzle. And
Right. Once
you get to your senior year, you kind of, you know, you anticipate what's coming in, and you kind of know things before they even happen. So, and not only that, that's probably to a large extent, you know, what's happening with Kirk. You know, and maybe he's not quite there yet. It happens at different stages for different quarterbacks, but
right.
That's why the more experience you can get the earlier in your career, the better off you're going to be once you do become a starter. So let's hope things haven't slowed down too much for Robinson, and you know, let's hope there's a great performance and a great showing from our defense this Saturday.
Bill Burke, our guest, a record-setting Michigan State quarterback, leader of the 10-2 team that went on and won the Citrus Bowl January 1st, 2000. Also been a broadcaster, financial analyst. Bill, can you let people know right now what you're up to?
Well, right now I've taken on a new career turn. I wanted to give something else a try. I'm actually in medical device sales. I'm a spine specialist, so I deal with neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons that do spine, and we actually offer the implants, the rods, screws for spinal fusion surgery. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously a little bit of a departure from the experience I've had in the past, but I'm really enjoying it. It's a very rewarding career, and also having fun spending time with my family. I got a 2-year-old son, so we're trying to teach him the fight song and get him ready for Saturday.
Is he a lefty?
I believe he's going to be a righty. He's showing a little bit of both, but we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Our guest, Michigan State's favorite Southpaw quarterback, Bill Burke. Thanks so much for joining us, Bill.
Okay, thanks, Jack.